Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 295, part 1, Facts or False 3. Today is Friday, June 7th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled Facts or False 3. The art, I believe it is art, the art of finding fault. Let's look into the book of Job tonight and look at some real pros at finding faults. There was a man whose name was Job. Job 1 and 1. You could put anybody's name in there in this. Maybe put your own in. I don't know. It's a story of pain. It's a story that raises a lot of questions. Like, why do people suffer? And then again, why do good people suffer? Job's suffering, I believe, tested his love for God. The psalmist sings, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." I was driving along in my car and I heard this song. Oh, I haven't got time for the pain. No, I haven't got time for the pain. And I added, and not to go on is insane. Oh, I haven't got time for the pain. In other words, you don't give it time. He had a young man came down and volunteered a little bit of time this week, and he was so consumed with the pain that he had, he couldn't do anything. He was definitely a pain. But I do believe in my years of ministering, in fact, my whole life, looking back on my parents' life, I can see that suffering mellows and sweetens an individual. That is, if he's trusting in the Lord. I think it depuffs. I think it makes us less critical. And when we see someone in trouble, we're a little more understanding. You understand that you have to have all of the facts before you can find any kind of fault, which you're not supposed to find at all anyway. Paul says, we know in everything God works for good for those who love him. That's the secret right there. The secret is in knowing God. Knowing it all works for good. The Bible says they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Somebody gives you a double whammy, you can praise God for it. And I'll tell you why. They might have meant it for evil, but the Bible says God meant it for good. God is in charge and in control of everything. In Job 1 and 9, we have a question. Does Job fear God for naught? Here we're looking at the fault finder. And the fault finder is a man who slaughters reputations. Like the movie magazines, when you're going through the checkout counter, they'll have the Inquirer and they'll have the other little smut magazines there. Movie magazines. And we find out that the fault finder is a killer of good names. Sometimes he does it brutally with a blunt instrument. Sometimes they can be very blunt. But other times he uses the skill and craftiness of innuendo. So again, I say fault finding is definitely an art. Anyway, in this great courthouse drama we're going to get into tonight, has the greatest teacher of all fault finding the world has ever known, and his name is Satan. And I've read this book several times. But anyway, he pokes Job full of holes with a question. And the scene is heaven. The author of Job places and introduces Satan among the sons of God. And so the Bible tells us that Satan, since the beginning, has always placed himself among the sons of God. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. Have you been accused this week? Never misses church. Well, I hear someone say, you mean he's right here? He's always in church. He brings all of his demons with him. We're not warring flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. You're not warring with people, you're warring with spirits. He probably has kept many from even coming to church. It happens all the time on Sunday. By causing arguments, lost car keys, kids who don't want to go, or a mate that doesn't want to go, or find some excuse. Are you hearing this? Or you got started too late. Well, it's too late now. And of course, he gives people other excuses. Too early. Maybe they go out to eat first and they argue scriptures and forget about the time. Don't make it. Or maybe they say, let's don't go. Christians are hypocrites. Or maybe Satan says, you don't feel good tonight. Or why not go for a ride? It's so nice out. And Satan, I know that you're accusing people right now while they're listening to this radio program. Because you are life's wrecker. You are the tempter. But I'll tell you something, as long as you and your group venture into this church, whether it be during the week when we're running missions or during the service. I will not allow you to lie. And how am I going to do that? By preaching the truth. And the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to say something. The people that are listening, for the most part, most of them, most of the people that are in here, all the people in here tonight, are saved. And what's that? Am I sure? Yes, the Bible says, all that call upon the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, will be saved. But hold it a minute. I want to talk about you. Not to you. You see, Satan, you're boring. You're full of questions, putting people on the defense, making them then doubt their salvation, making them then doubt the promises of God. So I want you and your demons off of this radio program, out of the houses that they're sitting in right now, or the cars, or wherever you're listening to this. You won't like this message because, you see, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about the blood and the cross, and I want you out. O-U-T. And I'm going to bind you up right now in the name of Jesus and cast you out away from this program, away from this church, so we now can go on with the service. But here God singled Satan out and asked him a question. Have you considered my servant Job? And probably that's happening right now. Satan, of course, has to get permission to attack any saint. Have you considered my servant Jim? Or Debbie? Or Carolyn? Or Janine? Are you hearing this? Have you then considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? And does Satan make any kind of a denial? No. Now listen then to the master of fault finding and conniving questions go to work. Maybe Satan turns around and winks at his group and says with a touch of pity for God, who is easily taken in, he thinks. Does Job fear God for naught? Oh, what an artist at fault finding. Well, what are Satan's qualifications for this task? Well, the Bible says he's traveled much. When questioned about what he has been doing, he answers, I have been going to and fro upon the earth. And so he's up to date and he knows what's going on. He speaks with authority about what everybody's doing. Well, we can't say he's a busybody because he doesn't have anybody. He's cast down. Bible says that Satan has been defeated. The Bible says he's been defeated by Jesus. We have authority, the Bible says, over Satan. He's a nobody. And nobody can't deceive. Can he deceive you if he's nobody? Unless you listen to his questions. Then, you see, you get on the defense. And a lot of times when Satan uses people, when his spirit comes upon people, They can ask you a question and put you on the defense. Now listen, when someone comes up and has evil questions, check it out first. Before you answer, before you say anything, don't get on the defense. And he knows what spirit you're of, and he knows that there are familiar spirits. Now, someone comes up and you touch you about your work, and you've been working and doing all kinds of things, and someone says, well, what have you been doing today all day, just sort of standing around? That's an evil question. The Bible says, agree quickly with your adversary whilst he's in the way. Say, yeah, that's what I've been doing all day, standing around. End of conversation. Back to work. Person's standing there looking sort of foolish. You're right back working again. Don't get on the defense. You don't have to defend yourself. Jesus has already conquered that, and you don't have to get into that. And Satan can use people. He can use any of us. But not only has he been everywhere, he has seen everything. Because he has keen eyes, he sees the outward, but he also sees the inward. He not only sees the deeds of men, but he sees their motives as he sees them start to act them out. And then he knows where they're going with it. Well, he speaks with some authority then because he's studied men for thousands of years. I think he's also qualified by a character. Satan is called the adversary. Part, it's meaning part of the opposition. It's saying he is the one who is in quest of the worst. He's always looking, in other words, for the worst. Now here is the truth. Whoever seeks the worst will find it. Is that right? You look hard enough, you're going to find something wrong. Always. And even if you look hard enough at yourself, a lot of times you'll find fault with yourself. You look hard enough and long enough, you'll find something wrong with yourself. And if you keep it up, you can become qualified as a person who always sees the worst in people. Well, just ask any qualified fault finder who is worth his bad set of lips and a tongue galore. But it seems like Satan can always question us into seeking the worst in people. Don't listen to him, because the Bible calls him a liar. Maybe Satan says something like this: is she really a nice person? It's a simple question. Does she really care? Have you noticed her clothes lately? Well, maybe it's just me, but I think there's something funny about her. Well, I can't quite put my finger on it. But then again, maybe it's just me. She has raised, or he has raised, something to look at. People, right then and there, bind Satan when he tries to snare you with these questions. And furthermore, it's none of our business whether they this or whether they that or whatever. And so Satan, seeking for the worst, finds that even in Job, he can find that too. He's well equipped by his travels and by his insights and by his character to be the best at fault finding. He brings on this shrewd question. Does Job fear God for naught? Well, just a minute now. Someone on the radio is asking, why is that so shrewd? I'll tell you why it is. Because it has all the weight of an assertion. Oh, I said, it has all of the weight of an assertion. And listen carefully now. Without the risks. Because any expert troublemaker knows you get the other person to do your dirty work. Let's call them the informers through questions. And it's also shrewd because it's safe. See, the positive assertion by a fault finder has a twofold risk. Never make, if you're going to be a good fault finder, a positive assertion against the person. Well, it has one danger, and that danger is the risk of being found out. And number two, he runs the risk of embarrassment by being caught in a lie. And so Satan advises anyone who goes to his school of fault finding, if then you're going to find fault with anybody, put it in the form of a question. And then you'll be safe, and no one can prove you are lying if you just ask an ever so innocent question. I mean, I'm just asking. I mean, after all, it's just a question. Well, like, did he look like he had been drinking to you? I mean, God forgive me if I'm seeing things, but weren't his eyes sort of bloodshot? Oh, don't pay attention to me. My old simple questions. Oh, please, just forget what I said. Just thinking out loud, I guess. Oh, I like to stay away from people that think out loud. But not only is he safe because it does not run the risk of detection, but because it runs no risk of punishment. Now, many times the teller of a positive lie, I'm talking about the dumb, the inexperienced fault finder, can be carried out on a stretcher for his trouble. Shot. Fired, lose friends, become unpopular, be left on the outside like a kid at Fanny Farmer's with his nose pressed up against the window and not a dime to buy a chocolate. Because those who slaughter by fault finding, by, I'm saying, making positive assertions instead of posing questions, could be taken to court. Could end up in the East River with cement shoes on. Given the lie detector test. And next, I believe the question, does Job fear God for not, is shrewd. Because you know why? It puts its finger on the acid test of the worth of any deed. Well, let me say something about good deeds or bad deeds. No deed is either good or bad in and of itself. See, its goodness or badness depends upon the motive that's behind it. And even if a person started out with a bad motive and found out it was fun to do some and exhilarating and it made him feel good and it caused him to do good for the fact that they wanted to feel good in doing it. Now we're getting into sort of a complex thing here. We're starting to deal with motives. Now you can't get a golden contact or golden conduct with leaden motives
vessel. Get the lead out. If the motive is bad, the deed is bad. And if the motive is good, the deed... Now let me say something. So far as the doer is concerned, is also good. You might see someone do something and say, that was very, very bad. And the person says, why? Well, the reason I did that was because of this. Folks, right now I have to stop here and say, stop defending yourself for doing good. You don't have to. You don't have to answer the question, why are you doing this good? I'll tell you, the very best answer to give anybody is that if you had it your own way half or 90% of the time, you wouldn't do it. But God has made you willing to do it in the day of His power. And now you got God in on it. Yes, God has made me willing in the day of His power. Now that would be the truth. Even too deep for us to understand ourselves, but the Bible does tell us that God does make us willing in the day of His power. Say, I really don't know myself. I don't know all my motives. Maybe you could tell me something. I don't know. Well, all I know is I'm here, and God has made me willing to do it. Even though I don't want to do it sometimes, I just have a willing spirit to do it. Pray for me. Maybe death will come. Agree with them. Expert fault finders are wishing people dead all over the place. Seems like they glory in that, reading the obituary columns. Well, here's one, 52 years old. Here's one, 67 years old. It's almost like Satan's helpers, and you're reading all these. Born so-and-so, died so-and-so. Are you hearing this? Now, I was reading one of the most beautiful confessions of love, and I think it's made by Ruth for Naomi. And Ruth pours out her heart to the mother-in-law, Naomi. Listen to it. It's beautiful. Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you. Don't tell me to leave. Don't make me stop following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you sleep, I'm going to sleep. Where you go, I'll go. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and mine also, if even death parts from me to you. Wouldn't it be a hard to improve on such a lovely statement of love, wouldn't it? But let's suppose now that we threw a few questions in. Do you really think Naomi believed Ruth? I wonder if Ruth was just out for a free meal ticket here. She's probably waiting for her mother-in-law to drop dead. And so by these questions, we could have made a Jezebel out of Naomi. Turn something beautiful into something rotten. You ever been around somebody that can turn something beautiful and just make it totally rotten with their question?
Well, I don't know now. I don't know now.
I hope you're listening on the radio. Have you ever been around someone that can take something positively beautiful and make it rotten. That is the fault finder. They can see no good. All they see is the worst. Did you ever have days like that when all you can see is the worst? Huh? Dumb car. Dumb bike in the driveway. Huh? Dumb kids. Dumb mate. Dumb preacher. Dumb church. Dumb grocery bags. Dumb painting. Dumb ceiling tiles. Dumb da dum dum dum. But there are actually people that are away all of the time. Isn't that dumb? Yeah, they can take something beautiful and make it rotten. Did you ever sit at the dinner table with somebody like that? And everybody's happy and having a good time. Tell about what happened at school, or the other one tells some little thing or something. Huh? And there'll be that one person there that will just be snarly and snappy. And just make a rotten time for everybody. Well, I'll say this, beware when you ask people, how's it going? And Satan gets their mouth and they say sort of a long, trying to think of what they're going to say, a sort of a long, well. Or you ask about someone and the eyes do an upward 90 degree-er. They're looking for a question that they can give you. People even question the Word of God. Did Jesus really mean, I give you life eternally? What does that mean? Well, I don't pretend to be the smartest man in the world, but I don't claim to be the dumbest. I think when God says, I'll give you life eternal, that's exactly what it means. Don't you? I mean, why not? Why not trust in the Lord? Why find fault with the Word of God? Especially something so positive as that. Now, really, do you think God wishes that none should perish? There must be one or two or three, whatever, in the whole wide world. Well, do you mean the gifts are for now? But anyway, look at how shrewd Satan was in questioning the motives of Job. And such questioning of Job's motives left him with no comeback. When someone questions your motives, you really have to search for a comeback. Because there is always that element in self in anything that we do, in some degree. And of course, that's fair. But they put you on the defense, so now you're standing there and you lose your cool and you can't answer the question. Can you say you really love this thing? Do you really love to do this or whatever? Do you really, 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 can you really say so? And you might even freeze right then. And they'll wipe you out. You know, why are you doing this? What's your motive? You got to be doing it for some reason. A guy asked me one time, he says, I know why you do this. You take all the steaks and chops and everything, take them home for yourself. I says, naturally, think I'm some kind of dummy, I'm going to take home peanut butter? course. I just stopped him right then and there. Little did he know that I love peanut butter. Yeah, agree with your adversary quickly whilst they're in the way. And sometimes folks will say something, it'll come out, they don't even know what they're saying. They get overcome by a spirit. And so you can get yourself where you're always on the defense. Why is everybody always picking on me? That's because you're easy pickings. That's because they know they can bug you. You ever been around a professional bugger? Now you get two professional buggers together and they know exactly what to do to bug each other. And they try to out-bug each other. Who do you suppose is in the middle of that bugging? Monitoring the bugging. Well, the old roach himself. And so he questions the motives. And so there's really no comeback. Suppose that you accuse me of stealing your billfold. Listen on the radio. Just listen to this tape. And I prove beyond a shadow of a doubt I didn't do it. But you have raised a question. It's strange, but people would rather believe evil than good. And even though that they heard positively that the billfold was found and the person didn't do it, it's such a juicy story, you can't let it go. You have raised a question. You have put in doubt in people's minds.
That was episode 295, part 1, Facts or False 3. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. and own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.